Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We're in Ephesians this morning, chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. Our Giving Thanks series, that's where we're at. We've been looking at several different topics, some theology, some just things in general, some are both. Marriage. Last week was forgiveness. I don't know that we've really even defined being thankful. What does that mean? We're in the season of Thanksgiving, right? We're thankful for food, family, friends, health, and all these things. What does it mean to be thankful? How do we go about showing that? I'm thankful for many things in my life. I'm thankful for the decorations up here. We've turned the corner to Christmas. Thank you for those involved in doing this. What's it mean to be thankful? What's it mean as a Christian to be thankful? And that answer is easy. It's being thankful for all things in your life, but in giving thanks, it's pointing to Jesus. That's our Christian version, thankful for God, thankful for the blessings from Him, and that's everything. But we've been thankful for individual things week to week, and this week is a different set. We're going to look at two things. First, a question. What is karma? Do we know what karma is? Could we define it? We may not even use the word, but we understand its meaning. It's things like what goes around comes around. Yeah. It's things like do good, you'll eventually receive good. Do bad, you'll eventually receive bad. Someone cuts you off in traffic, and then you see them later on down the road. They've been pulled over by a cop, and your thought is, oh no, right? No, your thought is, that's great. That is what they deserve. That's our thinking. That's karma to us in general, though it does have a deeper sort of religious connection. I'd like to break it to you now. See what I did there? I hate to break it to you. No, I like to break it to you. Christians don't believe in karma. We say we do. We say things like we do, but we don't really believe in it. Why? Because of the two biblical concepts that we're going to discuss this morning. Giving thanks is the series, and today it is giving thanks for grace and for mercy. And we're going to do it in three parts. Why do we need it? Giving thanks for mercy and giving thanks for grace. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Let's stand as we read God's word together. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this morning together. We thank you that we do call this place our church home, and this is our church family. Father, we just ask you allow us. us to lean into your words together as this family this morning. Help us see what you have for us and apply it as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we know our passage this morning. It's a familiar passage regarding faith and works and how the believer sort of reconciles them both. Salvation, not because of us, but because of Him, and yet we do things in faith. Now this entire book is a letter, and it's written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And he's writing to them for their instruction. He's writing to them to put them in their place in certain areas, to lift them up in certain areas. It's full of the gospel and faith and love and marriage. It's full of truth. This morning we dive into a section of this truth so that we can give thanks. Give thanks for what? God's mercy and God's grace. So let's get going. Why do we need it? And maybe ever since we began here, maybe since I mentioned grace and mercy, you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've come to a conclusion. You have no idea what they mean. That's okay. Or maybe you sort of do know what they mean and you have no idea how they are different. They are the same, right? We use them sort of interchangeably. It's two words describing the same thing, right? No. There is a difference. It's a subtle yet magnificent difference that I hope you can see by the time we're done this morning. But in the general, what do we think of? Something unearned or maybe God's blessing? We know it, right? We can put our finger on things in our life that we call grace and mercy. We just can't quite describe it. Well, first, why do we need it? We know it's something from God. We know it has something to do with salvation. But why is it a need? Look at our text, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Just to be clear, these are descriptions of us. Dead in sin and of the world. A son of disobedience and living in the passions of our flesh. Children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Does that make us feel good? Someone called you a disobedient sinner and child of wrath. Would you take it as a compliment? Maybe. This is how God saw us before making us new. Before the sun in our place, these descriptions were our fate and are still the fate of all who do not believe. After the sun in our place, these descriptions were no more. They do not apply to you anymore if you believe. Maybe you still think bad things, or you do bad things from time to time, right? We all do, but that's not who you are anymore. That's what you are at war against now, though you slip up. Repent and do so, remembering that Jesus was the sinless, so the sinner could be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have not yet revealed our grace and mercy definitions, But we certainly know the why we need them. Just knowing that they're attached to salvation, are a part of our being, a sinner condemned no more, means they are important and are needed. Do we realize our need? That's first. All have fallen short, and all have needed mercy. Let's go there. Giving thanks for mercy. Where are we in the text? We're in verse 4. We're at this little word, but. But is a simple word to interject, to reveal new information, to give a new direction. Example, you wake up and it's a great day outside. It's 75 degrees, it's sunny. Many of you wish for that this morning. It's 75 degrees. It's sunny. Hey, kids, it's a great day outside. We should all go hang out outside. But I see a family of skunks on the porch. That's an important new piece to the puzzle. That's an important new trajectory here in the story of that day. Did you still run out for the picnic? You might have waited a few moments. To keep the dogs from them. But is a small word, and yet always powerful in Scripture. What do I mean? Lost in our sins, but. All fallen short, but. All condemned, but. A very big word in Scripture. Look at our text. Dead in our trespasses and children of wrath, but. But what? But God. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us. There are terms again, grace and mercy, but how are they different? Seem to be used together in the text, and that is true, they work together. How about mercy specifically? What is it? Well, Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's both words again, but there it is, separate from grace. We receive mercy and find grace. Two different things in that statement. Luke 6:36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So what we know from these texts is that mercy is received, but is different from grace, and is something that the Father is. He is merciful. Mercy is also connected to judgment. Judgment is without mercy. Mercy means no judgment. So what is it? Mercy is God withholding His judgment. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Now when I hear mercy, my mind goes immediately to that movie Braveheart. I sort of grew up on that movie. I think that's why I go there. There's an end scene of William Wallace, and he's been captured. He's being tortured, and the guy tells him, just cry out for mercy and we'll end it quickly. And instead he cries out for freedom. It's like the big moment in the movie. I don't know why my mind goes there. Maybe it's because it's like a movie up here, maybe. Mercy. Just cry out for mercy. All have sinned and all have fallen short and all deserve death, But God, being rich in mercy, has withheld his wrath. That's what we're talking about. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should have repentance. The sole reason that any of us exist right now is because of his extraordinary patience and mercy. The judge has withheld judgment. The sustainer has continued to sustain. Do we get the picture? Mercy is a thing needed the most while we're putting the most distance between us and God. And he still granted it. We're running the other way, and he still held the wrath back. Do we see this mercy? Every breath we take while standing against him. Standing against the God of all things, that's where we stand. Every action we lean into that he has commanded us and begged us not to do. Mercy. Do we give thanks? How do we use our time? How do we spend our days? What do we take for granted? And is Jesus one of those things that we're taking for granted? We give thanks for mercy by living the life we've been called to live and by spreading the message we've been called to spread. His mercy revealed at the cross as he poured out his wrath for sin on him instead of us. Why? Verse 7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's go there. Giving thanks for grace. Shown mercy and sent Jesus so that we may have grace. So they are different, but how? What is grace? All sorts of definitions from the world. It's an act of kindness. It's being considerate, it's some trait, it's some middle name, as Maggie said this morning. What is grace? It's my name. Even a worldly definition of biblical grace can be found. It's called divine assistance. How about our text? Verse 7 said it was immeasurable. And verse 8 and 9 say this. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is by grace that salvation comes. Grace and faith come as a gift. So received like mercy, but mercy is received by not receiving wrath. We receive mercy by not receiving the thing we should receive. Mercy is received by something being withheld. Grace is received by receiving salvation. Divine assistance in being saved. That's the grace. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Romans 3:24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, in Jesus, we find both our mercy, God held back wrath because of him, and our grace, God redeeming us because of him. What's an example of this? Where can we look to see both grace and mercy working? And when I think through this, I think about a courtroom here because we're talking judging and judgment. I think of your crimes being judge. We could imagine some list of terrible things that have been done, or we can just think about all the ways in which we have fallen short of the glory of God. Either way, time to be judged. Then the judge says, you are definitely guilty. Without a doubt, you're guilty. You have no chance. But I'm going to give you more time. Go on your way. I'm going to delay judgment. Then you come back, and maybe you've added to the list now, and the judge says it again. He delays it again. Then you come back completely on your own merits. Look at all the things I've done, and those merits have made it worse instead of better, and he delays it again. That's mercy. That's the withholding of what should be rightfully yours. Then you come back, and the judge looks at you and says, you still deserve what's coming. But here's my son for you. My son will stand in your place. My son will take this wrath so that you can be saved. So that you may believe and have eternal life instead of eternal condemnation. Him in your place, and he is where you will place your faith. Will you lean into him? That's grace. Let me be perfectly clear. You do not want karma. Karma is getting what you deserve. And I understand why we stand there from time to time. We want the bad people to get the justice, right? We want them to get caught. We want bad things to happen to the bad people. But that's just us comparing them to maybe less bad people. That's just us saying that we're not bad because look at the other person. But in reality, the Bible says, no one is good, not one. So when we're comparing ourselves to the God of all things, we do not want karma. Don't lean into the world's version of faith, which states everyone will get what they deserve and are good enough to deserve something good. As a Christian, you should realize exactly what you deserve. You read it in this book. Exactly what should be coming when you stand before the throne of God in judgment. Realize and then cling to grace with all your might. Throw that karma nonsense out the window. Amen. Do we give thanks? Meaning, is grace a part of our life? And not just the part we get from God. We like that part, faith, saved. Do we give others grace? That's how we really give thanks. Do we extend patience and humility and care when our initial response wants to be something else? Wants to be wrathful and judging? Wants to be quick to decide, quick to condemn? Every parent in here knows that feeling, right? The feeling you get when you keep having to say no over and over again. This is the last time I'm going to tell you. The feeling you get when you say something like, knock it off before you get hurt, and then before you can turn the corner, one of them's crying already. Is your immediate reaction grace and mercy? Because if it is, you're better than me. Do we give grace? That doesn't mean accept all things. That doesn't mean no punishments or consequences. Jesus dined with the sinners and he said, go and sin no more. He called them to repentance. Don't latch on to the world's version of grace, which is everything's okay for everyone. But we must give grace and mercy. A big part of this giving thanks is by giving grace to others, and it is also realizing that the grace we give and have received does not originate with us. Given and received, those are not descriptions of things you did, but of things God did for you. What did our text say? Gift from God. And the gift was not from effort. It was not earned so that no one may boast. No one can stand on grace produced by themselves. Everyone must stand on the grace of God. Romans 11:16, but if it's by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would not be grace. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. meaning that giving thanks for this gift of grace and mercy is to first realize that we could not do it. We did not earn it. We may have said yes to Jesus, but the mercy and the grace and the faith and the repentance and the salvation all come from God. How does that help us give thanks? How does that help us extend grace to others? Well, it's no longer a sense of accomplishment or pride. It was a gift to you that you're giving to someone else. Which means we also realize that we once stood where others stand and all need help like we needed help. I think about tripping and falling in the mud here. I know that's sort of weird. They just talked about this at the family dinner at Thanksgiving. Get the pictures before the kids go outside. That was the statement. When you're little, you find the mud, right? Especially if you're wearing good clothes. You're attracted to it. When you grow up, you avoid the mud. You walk around the puddle instead of stomping through it. Now, some of you just thought, wait a second, I still stomp through it. Yes. And remember, I said when you grow up. Some of us just refuse to grow up, myself included. This concept of giving thanks and extending grace is not like you making fun of the person that tripped and fell in the mud, but rather like you remember that you were once in that same mud. You extend the helping hand and the towel instead of the smirk because you stood there too. Of course, the ultimate way of giving thanks is the same every single week. We point to Jesus. We are who we are because of Him, and when we try to be something else or we try to do something else that is off His path for us, or we fall short in any other way, we're forgiven because of Him. Where do we need this grace in our life? Be humble and be repentant. Where do we need to extend this grace to others? Where do we need to be a bit more like Jesus? We're going to close here by revisiting these two terms. Have we seen the difference? Mercy is us not getting what we earned. And grace is getting what we have never earned. In His mercy, God withholds what we rightly deserve, and in His grace, God gives us what we have not earned. So, God's mercy is withholding His wrath, and God's grace is giving salvation, the giving of His Son. It is a subtle yet beautiful difference. Mercy of utmost importance, and grace of utmost importance. And we're only saved by having both. Can you see both in your life? Can you see where you have needed mercy? Can you see where you have been given grace? If you cannot see the need, then one of two things has happened. You're either the perfect person, the only one who has ever lived outside of God in the flesh. You're either that person, or your heart and your mind and your eyes and your very soul are closed to it. We must see our need. Sinners in a fallen world with no chance outside of Jesus must see our need. We must also see that need has been met. That need has been filled. Your judge has halted the execution and He has reversed the sentence. We have been set free in Christ Jesus our Lord. In a world that will tell you anything else, they will offer you almost everything else, find a way to stand there. A place that says, I am not perfect, but He was perfect for me. A place that says, when I was lost, He found me. When I was broken, He fixed me. When I sin, He still holds me. Nowhere I can stand without standing. that's grace and mercy in your life, and that's your Christianity on display. And if you've never felt any of this, then simply believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will feel it in your very soul, and you will see it in your life today. In His mercy, God withholds what we rightly deserve, and in His grace, God gives us what we could never earn. Have you received your gift? Receive it today. Bring anything at all to our Father in heaven as we sing. Give thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning together. We thank you for our week and our weekend. We thank you for all the people in our life, the family, friends, loved ones. We thank you for the good food we've had here or there that may or may not be good for us. Father, we thank you that we can see tangible blessings upon us. And Father, we thank you that we can claim your mercy upon us. We thank you that we can feel your grace in our life in a very real way. Father, help us hold on to that in the days ahead. Help us share that with others in our life, maybe even this afternoon. Help us forever remember where we once stood apart from you and where we are today. Help us see Jesus as our greatest blessing. In Jesus' name I pray.